People want to see Jesus, not me. They want to hear from Jesus, not me. So I would pray that you would speak through me and bless our congregation with the words that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I really like that that Psalms 127 in the way it starts. And of course, Kath and I used to joke about the quiver part and how we were working on our quiver. And, you know, we ended up having four children. And if Lisa had been a boy, we may have had five children because she really, really wanted a girl. So we may have kept things going. But Psalms 127, I love the first verse. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Okay, so that's kind of something to keep in mind whenever we think of family matters. Unless the Lord is directing, guiding, and being dependent upon, all is vain. It's not going to happen. Okay, so fatherhood loves sacrifice and pattern. So when I was about to have my first child, of course, I was asking people for advice. You know, what should I be aware of? What should I think about? And so I asked my supervisor, excuse me, at work, and he said, stay out of the line of fire. And so soon after we had Eric, and between, you know, diaper changes and this and that, we pretty quickly came to know what he meant. It was not unusual for a stream to squirt out into the air unexpectedly during That's good advice. I passed that along to any other young fathers who need advice. And I'm going to kind of open it up here for a second. Does anybody else remember getting advice as a about to be father? What anyone that someone had given you advice about what to expect, what you should do as a father?
Not for me.
Okay, anybody have advice that they received when they're about to be a father?
I remember my coworker, specifically he had boys, and he said, you better have good health insurance.
Ah.
Well, there's two boys, and he said, the emergency room file is like 3 inches thick for my boys.
Okay, that's good. Good advice. Anybody else? Advice that they receive when they're about to be a parent.
Just bring them up in the word.
Okay, that's excellent advice. Any others? One more that has a word of advice that they receive when they're about to be a parent. Okay, well, thank you for sharing. So I'm going to be sharing three passages of scripture which really refer to Father God and his love, his sacrifice, and his pattern for us. But I'm going to specifically relate that to fatherhood and how fathers are to model that with their kids. So our first scripture is Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 24. And this is the passage about the lost son or the prodigal son. So I'm going to go ahead and read that part of this passage to you. So we all know what had happened with the lost son. He wanted to leave home. He wanted to just take his inheritance and go. And he went out there and he just blew all of his money on riotous living. Okay. But things changed for him and he came back home. So starting in verse 20, it says, okay. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He's alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Okay, so again, this parable of Jesus was an illustration of God's love for his children, represents his forgiving love for sinners. So I want to talk for a minute about the importance of a father's love for his children, even when they take wrong paths or misbehave, right? We all, when we have children, hopefully have an image in our mind of how wonderful it's going to be, how great these kids are going to be, how they're going to bless us, how it's going to be so fun, right? But unfortunately, reality is not that way. We obviously expect for the best, but I guess this is not a biblical expression. Well, my dad, who is not a believer in Jesus, used to say, hope for the best and expect the worst. So again, not biblical advice, but just there is some truth in that, because things don't always go the way you expect with your kids, right? So I'll give an example of one situation that I had with one of my children who actually had trouble with the law and had to spend some months in jail. And although this was a very difficult situation, it wasn't something that I just backed off from, but continued to, you know, write letters on a weekly basis, continued to visit, you know, every 2 weeks, driving, you know, a long distance, and to be able to do that. So I did not, as I would say, turn my back away. It's really possible sometimes when our kids screw up that we just kind of say, I don't want anything more to do with you. You've disgraced the family. You know, and some people will go so far as to disinherit or disown children who have behaved badly. So we see from the example of the father in the parable that no matter how far you run away, you should not cut off that relationship. You should keep the door open for that person to come back. So another thing about love is it involves a give and take between giving direction and allowing a child to make their own choices as they mature. And this I got from talking to one of my kids yesterday. And I said, you know, what are your thoughts on this? And he brought that forth, that sometimes as fathers, we just think we want to kind of lay down the law and this is how it's going to be, not realizing that our children are, you know, their own people. And as they grow older, they make choices. They take certain paths that we wouldn't agree with, right? But there has to be that give and take between giving direction and allowing them to find their path in life. So anyway, that's the first point about love. The next point is about sacrifice. I'm going to read John 3:16-17. This is the great passage about God's love and how he sacrificed, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So, again, what we see here is God's sacrificial love, his willingness to give his own Son so that we might have life, to make a way for us to be back in fellowship with him. So a father makes sacrifices for his children. Some of those might be time, right? You might want to do something that you enjoy, but wait a second, your kid has a need. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. Another might be money. I was also talking to one of my kids yesterday about that. And, you know, they've, I guess, done studies about what it costs to raise a child. And he said, you know, I didn't check this out, but he said he thought he remembered a study saying $250,000 to raise a child to adulthood. And that sounded a little high to me, but in the Bay Area, that probably would be true.
Wow. Okay, no wonder we're
broke. Yeah, I know. Like buying a house in Reno.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so another thing that we might sacrifice is resources. Maybe we have something that we need to share in order for our kids to be successful. Another thing a man has to share is his wife's attention. You know how it is when you're just the two of you and in your honeymoon phase, and oh, this is so wonderful, and the world kind of revolves around just the two of you, right? Anytime you want to do something together, you do it. You need time with each other, you have it. Then kids come into the picture and things change, and especially with babies and young children, the mother has a huge responsibility, you know, feeding them, doing the things, nurturing them. So the father's like, whoa, what happened to my wife? She's always busy with the kid. So anyway, that's a sacrifice, of course, that a father makes. So I'll just give a little example of a sacrifice. Most of you know that I really enjoy music. I enjoy singing. I enjoy lots of types of music. There's some music that I don't like. And of course, that's the kind that my kids liked. Okay. So several of my kids really got into punk rock, and they enjoyed not only playing themselves, like in bands and this and that, but going to some of these concerts. And so a sacrifice to me involved taking them back and forth to, you know, enjoy their music. And I remember even in one case, there was a big venue that I went to, and I had to kind of go there, and it was in San Francisco. So I stayed there and waited and actually listened to these, you know, quote unquote, horrible bands. So I even took little notes about each one. And I said, this one uses the F word over and over and over, and this one just screeches. And, you know, so I had little notes about each one, and, you know, it was not pleasant, but it was a sacrifice I made so that my kids could, I guess in that case, it was only one, could enjoy or, you know, find something that they enjoyed. I also, sometimes with the concerts where they, and just even in my pajamas and robe, get in the car, drive to BART at 1 a.m, pick them up and bring them home. And it wouldn't be unusual for them to, can you give Joe a ride? Oh, can you give Jane a ride? what am I going to say? They're standing right there. I can't just leave them at the BART station. Oh, sure. Yeah. We'll take them too. So just, you know, an example of a kind of sacrifice. Okay, so anyway, the next point is about pattern. And this is really kind of about modeling. And the passage for this is John chapter 5. So I'm going to open up to John chapter 5, verse 19 to 23. So Jesus was speaking to a group of people. Says Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So again, Jesus is talking about his relationship with his Heavenly Father and how he was modeling, you know, what he saw, and he was expressing divinity of the Father to the world. And so even so, a father is a model for his children, right? And for better or for worse. A father provides a pattern for his children to follow. And we don't always do that great, right? Sometimes we find that our children will pick up some of our bad habits or some of our lesser, less noble characteristics. And it always amazes me how it seems easier to pick up a bad habit than a good habit. I don't know why that is, but I can remember my kids doing some behaviors, and I said, oh, wow, that's the same way I used to react. Okay. So let me give an example of the kids. So there's a lot of things that I've modeled in my life. And of course, one is a love and devotion for Christ. One would be a caring heart. One would be diligence in work. One would be handling finances responsibility. So it's kind of cool when I see my kids, like for example, Eric is very analytical when it comes to finances. And he really is very thorough in looking at costs and expenses and handling money. So I never sat down and taught him this is what you do, but somehow he picked that up just by being in the family. And another, I wanted to mention Mark. My son Mark has a part-time job at St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store. And the way that this came about is we used to shop there, and he saw that the part of the store was in total disarray. It just looked horrible. And he went to the manager and said, hey, you know what? Can I organize this? And Mark has a real gift for organization. And so he spent a lot of hours putting the whole media section into good condition. And they liked what he did so much that they hired him for a paid job. And he continued to work there. And he's been there now for, I guess, about a year and a half, or maybe even 2 years, keeping the place organized. It's not easy in a thrift store, but I just see that as an example of you know, he picked up the diligence that he saw in his father and the desire to keep things organized. So really gratifying. And you know, sometimes you model stuff and the kids don't pick it up. I'm sure you all have had that experience. You think, how come they're not picking this up? And I've had that experience too. So I guess we shouldn't be discouraged, because we know that there's an expression, please be patient, God is not finished with me yet. So the idea is, I have hopes for my children. You know, they're all adult now, but I still have hopes for them to develop in time. I see them. I see stuff happening. I see changes. I see growth. So my word to you is, don't be discouraged if your kids aren't exactly where you would like them to be. Just keep praying for them. Keep loving them. And you know, God is working in their life. So in terms of application, just a couple of thoughts. One is to be committed to the children God has blessed you with. And it's a lifelong commitment. It reminds me of a time when I was driving my car, dropped Kathy off at the Pier 39, right? Dropped her off there, and I was like, had just fumes. I was just about out of gas. And so as I left, ran out of gas on the freeway, which is not great. So I pulled the car kind of as much as I could off of the lane, and walked off the freeway and found a phone booth back in the day when they had phone booths. So this was many years ago, and called my dad. I said, hey, I'm stuck here. Can you come and help me out? And so he did. And the car had been towed by the time I came back. So we had to go to the tow yard, pay money to get my car out and this and that. And he said something to the effect that, you know, you're always a father. No matter how old the kids are, you're always a father. So I encourage you to remember this is a lifelong commitment. Okay, secondly, be willing to give up something to help your kids be successful. This was very much a principle years ago. Like, for example, in the time of my parents, they all wanted their kids to do better than they did. And so they were willing to sacrifice, to pour into their children so that their children could become successful. Now, in today's world, things are a little crazy because in many cases, the children aren't doing as well as the parents. They're having a harder time being as successful as their parents were. So there's been a bit of a downturn. But anyway, the point is, if we make sacrifices, it'll help our children to be successful. And finally, finish strong. Don't give up in modeling for your kids, and especially devotion to Christ. I mean, we know that's the number one thing. If we could just get our kids to honor God, to respect God, and to live a life that is honoring and glorifying to God, I mean, how happy we all would be, right? And sometimes it's a frustrating thing. So don't let up in modeling devotion to Christ. And finally, just, you know, last word, John 3:16, awesome verse. God's sacrifice so that we could have a relationship with him. It's an invitation to all of us, to the fatherhood of God in our lives. If we would just believe, trust in God, receive Jesus, we could have that relationship that would bless us and allow us to be better fathers, better parents to our kids. Okay, amen and amen. At this point, we're going to, I guess, have a time of sharing about our fathers.